You all are so wonderful. You know, it's a privilege to be with, in front of each of you and to be inspired by the things that God is working in our lives. This morning, I called my teaching, Be Transformed, Live Christ-like. I want to continue studying in the vein that Bob started with on Wednesday on the renewed mind. It's said that the renewed mind is the key to power. And it's a very important subject for a successful walk with as a believer. And let's start with our theme verse, Romans 12, 1 and 2. You're welcome to turn to it, or it's right here on the screen. And I'm going to read the New King James Version. It says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, God has given us an amazing life. We are redeemed. We are righteous. We have Christ in us. We are called before the foundation of the world to be his children. Before he even said, let there be light, we were in his thoughts. Before we were in our parents' thoughts, God had us. So we are very, very special. The NLT says of Romans 12, 1 and 2, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Give your bodies to God for all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior of the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, God has provided the perfect life for each one of us. He gave the greatest gift, his only begotten Son, that we could have that Spirit of Christ in us, that we could have sound minds. We'll see more of that. But why not give our lives? And there's a key to this is that we renew our minds, that we don't copy the world. And the world's right there waiting for us to. It's right in front of us because we are natural men. We were born a natural man. When you got born again, you became a spiritual man. I would like to summarize these two verses by give your life to God. Do not conform to the thoughts and behaviors from the world, but live with a new mind of Christ by living on assignment for the Lord. This is the right way to worship him. Live on assignment to the Lord. He gave the greatest gift he could, his Son. And why not give our lives in living service to him? He's provided a path. You know, if we had to go out and find a map that was exactly the way we needed to go somewhere, we would never find it. But God has given the map. He's given the Spirit in us that we know exactly. And he's given the ability that we can come boldly before his throne of grace. There's never a time when we should question, what am I here for? And that's what natural man normally says. I give up. I've tried so much. What am I here for? Well, you're here so that you can be loved by a God who created the whole universe. This transformation is the Greek word metamorpho, and it's likened to the metamorphosis of a ugly little caterpillar that turns into a beautiful butterfly. I know Shanti doesn't like butterflies, but God used that as an illustration of how it changes from one form into another. We are that old man, that five senses man, is dead. We are new man. We are Christ. We walk as Christ. You know, and that's how God sees us, as Christ. Little Christ, big Christ. We're all Christ. We are to be Christ-like in our walk with him. He's provided all that for us. We're not a remodel. We don't just take some of that stuff that's distracting us. We're a whole new build. They tore down it all, and then we're a beautiful mansion for God. We are fully equipped even have the mind and the peace of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Galatians 2:20, I love what Paul says. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We're a new creation. God has provided everything we need so that we are never alone, that we are powerful people. If you want to live and think the way God intended, you must let him transform your mind. The change will happen as we spend time in his word, in prayer, reading his word, talking to him, acknowledging his dwelling inside of us. When I was working as an accountant at the Balboa City School, I would invite him every day to come sit with me and help me figure out how to make this school work. It was very challenging. I certainly couldn't do it on my own. I'd even pray for every payroll that the money would come in. It was very interesting, but we can't do anything alone if we want success, if we want to glorify him. You know, we can do it to try and get our own glory, but that's very shallow. That's not what we were called to do. Everything starts in the mind. We can choose the thoughts we will think. So many Christians, as well as unbelievers, have a roller coaster lifestyle. Up and down, flipped around, because they are ruled by their emotions. Many people don't even know they can control the thoughts that are in their minds. But I have this thought. Well, tell it to go away. By getting to know God better through an understanding of who we are in Christ, we receive an intimate relationship with our Abba Father and our big brother, Jesus Christ. We understand our true identity. Without the word, we don't know who we are. We're trying to prove ourselves. But we are a new creation as a son of God. When we do this, we'll live as 2 Timothy 1:7 says. We all know that. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So we can think the thoughts that God has chosen us to think, his word. We live by faith, not by sight. You know, so many times we get frustrated because we do start to five senses. How do I figure this out? Instead of stopping and saying, wait a minute, God. How many times have you lost something and you've gone, look through the whole house, and then it's like, oh, God, help me find it. And there it was. Because we don't realize that that old man is always there trying to distract us, that we have to renew our minds. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 11. If you'd like to turn there. I'm using the New King James Version. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The carnal mind is enmity. It's in conflict against God. It is not subject to God, or can be. Those in the flesh cannot please God. If you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, well, if you got born again, accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you have the Spirit of God in you. And he's not just there temporary. He's chose you as his dwelling place. I remember years ago when I was in Germany with my sister, I went to church on Sunday afternoon because I couldn't go in the morning, and the doors were locked. And I thought, well, I just want to go. I know it's going to be in German anyways, and I won't be able to understand it, but at least I can go and talk to God. I knew that much. Well, I went to the church, and the church was locked. And then after asking God, show me the truth, I realized that he doesn't dwell in a building. And 40 years later, Bob and I went to Germany to that same little church, and it was locked again. And I stood in front of it and I said, these gals were over there, and I'm making a sad face because I wanted to picture this opportunity 40 years later. Here it's still locked. And I told the gals, you know, I'm sad because I once thought that God lived in this building, but now I know he lives in me. And they just kind of, I don't even know if they understood English, but that's what I said to them. I was quite proud. He doesn't. He chose his dwelling in you. That's how important your lives are. Don't ever think that you're not important and that he wants to communicate with you. That's amazing. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Everything Jesus did on earth was the way he carried himself. Everything Jesus did on earth and the way he carried himself was how God intended. Because he spent time talking to the Father, he could learn the Father's will, and he knew the Old Testament from his youth. He always did the will of the Father. He acknowledged, I can of my own self do nothing. And I think when I get frustrated, okay, Jesus couldn't do anything of his own self. I can't do anything of my own self. Help. You know, sometimes we only need one word to talk to God, and he's ready. But, you know, he's given us a language. Speaking in tongues, we can communicate in his language. It's amazing. And you bring that language with you, speak in tongues with you all the time. Jesus lived in total obedience and trust and love with the Father. That's the lifestyle we want, right? So that we can live that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He's provided everything for us so we can be successful. But then you think, well, Jesus was perfect. How can I be like that? Well, Hebrews 4:15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted. But you know, when he got those temptations, he went to the Father. So he never allowed those temptations to discourage him or accept him. And we need to do the same. I know we're not perfect, but each day is a new day. He renewed his mind to always do the will of the Father. Jesus did have freedom of will. He was tempted on all points, yet without sin. Sin is anything put before God. How about worry, fear, disobedience, selfishness? Those are things we don't think of as sin. But they take our eyes off of God and live in part of the five senses. Worry. Have you ever gotten something good out of worrying? No. No. Or fear? No. No. You get so discouraged, and what it does is it tells you the thoughts come. Well, I don't know where God is. But we know where God is. He's right there ready for you to say, I accept that I am a child of God, and I do not allow any of this to happen. Idolatry is anything we put before God. It might be your job, desire for more possessions, keep up with the Joneses, or even the internet. And I'll get into that a little bit. That's probably a surprise. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In my opinion, one of the most distracting and thought-consuming things we are tempted with is the internet and the use of our cell phones. We are raising a generation that do not know how to be quiet, that know how to just be peaceful. If you go to a restaurant, I bet you'll find almost every table there, people are on the internet. And they're not saying, they're probably texting each other. Well, doesn't this steak taste good? You know. Now we get so distracted, we just have to know what the newest thing is on Google. But if we lose that sense, that importance of communication in the five senses, how about with God? Don't we see that is just really distracting us from being quiet, hearing that still small voice? And we need to teach our children and children's children and be that example. Because I know I have to do it myself. I can get up in the morning, look at my phone, see if I have any messages. But you know what? The greatest message is right here. So why not leave the phone alone? And I'm going to share something that was probably shared a couple years ago, but what if we begin to treat our Bibles the way we treat our cell phones? Let's question this. What if we carried our Bible with us everywhere instead of our cell phones? You know, leave your cell phone in the car and put your Bible in your purse. What if we turn back to get our Bible if we forgot it, like we do with our cell phones? You know, nobody leaves the house without their cell phone. What if we checked our Bible for messages throughout the day instead of our cell phones? In the olden days, if you can, any of you can remember this, we actually had answering machines. And we would work all day and we'd come home and whoever came home first got to see who was calling and we called back. And did anyone get hurt by that? No. No, then we could give our undivided attention to that person that called. What if we used our Bible in case of an emergency, going to God first? What if we spent an hour or more using our Bibles every day instead of hours on end reading what other people say or indulging in the desires of the flesh and propaganda? What would happen? If our minds would become dependent on the good news, and they would probably distaste the negatives of the world and its influences. But that's part of the renewed mind, is we have to direct our thoughts to what God wants for our lives. We are not our own. We were bought with a price. So we are God's now. We are His children. He wants so much for us to jump into His lap and say, Daddy, I am so frustrated. I don't know what to do. And he'll say, Honey, you are my precious child. I'm here for you. There's nothing that can affect you. The renewed mind transformation is a lifestyle. It's not something you put on and off. We have the mind of Christ. He only did the will of the Father who sent him. Were you chosen before the foundation of the world to be loved by him? Were you? And to love him with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength? Yes, that was our purpose. He loved us by giving us, by choosing us, and we love him back with our whole heart, mind, and strength, soul and strength. When Jesus was confronted by the devil, did he think about what the devil was trying to ask him? No, he was confident. You know what he said? What did he say? It is written, right? It is written what my Father says. That's what's true. It is written. Where am I? James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Jesus always submitted to the Father. He put the Father first. On the authority of the Word of God, and the name of Jesus Christ in the operation of the nine manifestations of Holy Spirit, we will be more than conquerors to resist the influences of the devil. But we have to guard our time and our thoughts. Let's turn to Matthew 16, verse 21 through 23. And I want to share with you where Jesus confronts Peter on his mindset. A great example, I think, that you will appreciate. And verse 21 says, from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. Well, he was instructing his disciples that what was going to happen in the days ahead. Well, Peter, verse 22, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." You know, Jesus said, this is what's going to happen. And Peter knows that what Jesus says is going to come to pass. But what he did out of his love and emotion, he said, "No, Lord, I'm going to protect you. I don't want this to happen to you." And Jesus said, verse 23, he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Well, Peter was a natural man. He didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. But you can understand that love that he had for his Lord, that he was going to protect him. Even at the when they went to take him, Peter cut off one of the soldiers' ears, Malchus's ear, and Jesus said, "Come on, Peter." He healed him. He just so wanted to always have his Lord with him. Well, we have our Lord with us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. But we have to have that confirmation that confrontation that, wait, are you thinking the old man of the five senses, or are you listening to what God says? Because our emotions are going to, remember, take us back and forth and over around and everything else, but it's not going to give us what God wants. The NLT says in verse 23, you are seeing things merely from the human point of view, not from God's. And this was really important because Peter was going to receive the Holy Spirit, and he needed to understand everything, what that natural thought lifestyle was all about, how to think that way. The ESV says, you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Another translation is, you are a stumbling block, a hindrance to me. You savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You are not setting your mind on God's promises. So, can you see we don't want a head knowledge of the word, but we want a heart of God living inside of us. We need to ask God, what am I trusting in more than you? And he will show you. We need to help one another from getting distracted or deceived. Does the word say that I'm healed? I was healed 2,000 years ago. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, "By his stripes you were healed." So what we do is we continue to tell God, tell ourselves how big our God is, not that sickness and disease, and stay faithful because our Father he knows what's going on in our lives. But it takes patience. I know it's not easy. It takes trust, believing. It takes prayers of the family of God working together, intercessors standing with you. Peter changed, didn't he? On the day of Pentecost, he gave a sermon that 3,000 people were born again. And then he had healed a man at the Gate Beautiful. He went on and on because he now lived a lifestyle of the Spirit. He had that renewed mind. He could work that. He remembered all the things that Jesus had set before him, all the examples. Speaking in tongues is a gateway to the supernatural. We should do it as often as Paul did when he spoke, and he said, "I speak in tongues more than y'all." We have the mind of Christ. It's right there. It's spiritually. We've got it. We have this Bible. You know, they didn't have the Bible. They had some scrolls. We can open up and see the examples of all these faithful men and women, God's love for us. But don't get distracted with that little phone. You know, the first cell phone was the size of a brick in 1950. Yeah, I wish it was that big, then maybe we wouldn't be carrying it around. You know, it's too convenient for us. This is the brick we want, the solid foundation. Amen? Yeah. We are on assignment for the Lord. Amen. Think about that. He's given us all that we need. We can do the works that Jesus did and greater works than these. We have the ministry of reconciliation. When we go to Old Town and tell people, minister to them, I always love to tell them, you know, God loves you. You are precious in His sight. And you see the smiles. You know, our words are powerful. How much does our Heavenly Father think of us? In Psalm 139, 17 and 18, it says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Where are our thoughts toward Him? Let's transform our minds away from the world to the priority of our relationship with our Abba Father and love one another as Christ has loved us. We will walk as spiritual beings we were made to be. Amen? All right. Well, God bless you all, and thank you for being a part of this fellowship and all of our lives together, because we need each other. So, Father, I thank you for this wonderful time that we can be together. I thank you for the powerful words of your word, that when we speak them, that they start to move mountains. They start to move the things that stop us from loving you or believing in you. I thank you for each one of our lives. I thank you for healing from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. I especially thank you for Michael McNair and his family and for the wonderful life that he's lived for you. And I thank you for peace there. I thank you for my brother George and for the healing that he needs. I thank you that you are with them and that you are giving us peace, giving him peace. I thank you that we can stand together with one another and carry the burdens of each other so that we can rejoice and have joy in our lives because we see you at work. I thank you for our wonderful Margaret and for the life that she lived and her wonderful family that has carried on her legacy of your love and the walk that she walked with you. I thank you for all of us that we have a legacy that we carry on, and that soon your son will return and we will have just a joy and rejoicing forever and ever. I thank you for all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
So let's renew our